so far in good.
How are you going to restore 15 to 20 million jobs?
Oh, I am your future.
You have the power.
Isn't it about time for a change?
Where are national leaders?
AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM. And as you know, we serve southeastern Pennsylvania, the state of New Jersey, and northern Delaware on the radio. However, people can also listen on the internet from anywhere in the USA simply by logging on to AmericanWorkersRadio.com. If you received the email announcement this morning reminding everybody about today's broadcast, send it out to a family member and friend so that we'll be able to grow our listeners. And boy, Henry gave me some news this week, and he said that we had to increase our bandwidth and all that, which is very pleasing to me. That means more people are getting involved, more people are interested in our message, and that's really what it's all about. Well, I want to say a special thank you, first of all, to Mark Andel, founder of the Made in America store, Larkin Connolly, national small business advocate, Rich Logis, the principal of RJL Technology, and also Curtis Ellis of the American Jobs Alliance and America First Project, and also our engineer, Henry Chaplinsky. I'm Michael Blihash. Always happy to be with you on this Wednesday at 11 a.m. Please do continue to spread the word. I want to say that we had a great response, a lot of positive publicity from the feedback of last Wednesday's broadcast as we marked the anniversary of September the 11th. People really liked hearing us talk about our memories of September the 11th and how the American people were united at that time. People really had the opportunity to look back on their own individual situation, where they were, what they were doing when it took place. And I want to say thank you to Mark Andel, Rich Logis, Curtis Ellis, and Larkin Connolly for their participation. Everyone added to a very special broadcast. I only wish that more of the news media would have presented information about the September the 11th attack. Well, yesterday was September the 17th, and America marked the 232nd anniversary of the United States Constitution, a document that has been guiding our nation for the last 232 years. Wow, that was a very well-written document, and I would have also liked to have seen the national news media giving the United States Constitution more PR, because it's a document that really united us, and it's much better than most people realize. The words of the Constitution that were written 232 years ago are really in the best interest of all the American people. They're very simple words that begin the Constitution itself. They're not, wasn't Democrats or Republicans. These were written by people concerned about the future of America. Those words are very brief, especially the beginning. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. Well, I would have liked to seen that promoted in all the schools, on all the media, in all the newspapers, but again, I was disappointed. This is one of the greatest documents that we have seen in America, and yet very little has been done to help it move along. I'm going to ask some of our good people to let us know what they heard about last week's broadcast, and also maybe let's discuss America's Constitution and give it some PR the way it should have been given PR yesterday when we started celebrating the 232nd anniversary. Let's start off today with Rich Logis. Rich, tell me everything. What do you think about? I know you're a big Constitution person. Did you think it got its just due yesterday?
I good morning, Michael. Good morning, everyone. And Larkin, wherever you are at this moment, we are hoping you're feeling better. We miss you. We want you to get back on as soon as you can, but take your time. There will be plenty of BS to get to when you get back. Don't worry. We're never want for BS going on in the nation. So good morning to everyone and our listeners. And, you know, Michael, if I could say, most of my studies of the Constitution occurred post-education. In other words, after I have a PhD, public high school diploma. So after my PhD, after college, most of my studies have occurred in my adult life after my schooling. And that Constitution, Michael, right? Now, it's important, I think, for listeners to know this, that apparently it sounds like the sirens are coming for me on this one. That was signed about, a mile away, Michael, from where we do this show, right, at Independence
right.
Hall.
Oh, Les, it's blocks away.
But few blocks away, walk over, and it's funny. This is how I actually was introduced to American Workers Radio. Me and my wife took a wrong turn, and we took a wrong turn down Walnut Street because we wanted to go to Independence Hall, see the Liberty Bell. We took a wrong turn, and my wife is from Poland. She saw the Polish flag. I didn't really care about that. I cared about the pierogi kielbasa sign outside the door, and I said, we got to park and go inside. And that's how this all happened, Michael. And this is almost 7 years ago.
That's right.
And so, you know, time is, it really does fly when you're having fun. The Constitution, in my humble opinion, as someone who's not a historian, not an expert, it is the most remarkable contract of guaranteed freedoms in man's history. And we had Chris Scalia on this show last year, the one of the sons of the late, great Justice Scalia. And Justice Scalia would always make this joke about people would ask him, you know, when did you become a textualist, an originalist, someone who interprets the Constitution based on its intent, what it meant at the time? And he'd always make this joke, you know, when did you become an originalist? When did you begin eating human beings? You know, as if somehow interpreting it on a textual basis as cannibalism was always this funny joke. But, you know, Michael, let me say about that Constitution, those who take the oath to uphold it, and then don't. Well, that's for the voters to make a determination on how well they think their elected officials, whether it's on a national or state level, how well they think their officials are upholding that Constitution. And the ones who aren't need to be worked to be ousted, because government and the people are the relationship is most harmonious and at its happiest when the government fears the people. The Constitution was a document not to give government any power. In fact, our rights don't come from government. Our rights are considered inherent in our being as human beings, as sovereign beings in a sovereign nation. So government cannot take any rights away because we do not get our rights from government. That's expressly what our Constitution was about. So those who don't uphold that oath, they need to be ousted immediately. And I don't think our founders and the framers would disagree with that. I'm loath to speak for anyone except myself, but I don't think they'd have a problem with it. As Jefferson once remarked, Michael, I prefer dangerous freedom to peaceful slavery.
That's right. Absolutely. Yes. I want to turn for a few minutes. Curtis, how are you doing?
I am doing great. Any day on American Workers Radio is a great day. And an opportunity to talk about the American Constitution is long overdue, and let's say this is an underappreciated document these days. It's interesting, as you were reading the preamble to the Constitution, what we have to remember is they they explicitly said, "We the people of the United States." And so the reason, I think that gives you a clue as to why yesterday's anniversary has been so widely ignored by the corporate media. Because the corporate media do not, the values that have been inculcated by the people populating the corporate media, the editors, the writers, the reporters, the producers, the all of those people, they have been pretty much brainwashed or soaked and marinated in this idea that we don't identify as citizens of a country anymore. We're supposed to identify according to our race or ethnicity or sexual preference, orientation, whatever word you want to use. So we're members of a class. We're members of an ethnic class. We're members of a you know, sexual class or gender class or whatever you want to call it. And that's where we get our identity from. So you read that document that you read so beautifully, you see that we got to where we are today by being members of a nation, by identifying as united, that despite all of our differences, we came from different countries, different backgrounds, but this we have in common. We are pursuing a common goal. We're pursuing a, we're uniting as a country on the basis of certain principles, and we're going to move forward together. Think of it this way. I mean, we've gotten so far down the rabbit hole that now through things like affirmative action and other, which in itself is now an antique concept, but these different preferences, preferential hiring, preferential pay, are being handed out on the basis of what class or what race you are a member of. Basically, what race or what's inside your underpants. The way the Constitution, the way the founders envisioned it, is you would get. In the big scheme of things, you would get a certain preference and be entitled to certain benefits by being a citizen of this country, and all citizens would have that benefit. So you would be protected by this Constitution. Everybody'd have the same protections. Everybody who is a citizen of this country and is subject to the laws of this country would enjoy these benefits. Now we've gotten to a point where that's out the window, and depending on your ancient history of your ethnic group or something else, that will determine what benefits you get. And it's really, really, really too bad, to put it mildly. I mean, it just shows how far away we've gotten from the original concept of what America is and how far we've gotten from the original concept of nationality and national identity and nationhood. And, you know, we can have gay pride and we can have black pride and we can have women's pride, but let's have some national pride and be proud to be Americans. There's liberty and necessity, and in order to have liberty, what's necessary is that we have a country that protects that liberty. Without the protection of the Constitution, there is no liberty. It's that simple. And we saw it yesterday. I mean, we've been inculcated now for the last few days with this whole nonsense over the New York Times botched story and these allegations. And to show just how people have lost their way, I think Kamala Harris, the 2020 Democrat, is a great example. She says, the fact that something has not been proven doesn't mean it didn't occur. This is a fine legal mind at work here. Anyway, I don't want to get into that. But thank you for bringing up the anniversary of the Constitution. It's
No, but Curtis, it ties in, if I could say a point before we bring more.
Please,
it actually ties in. It does tie in exactly to all of this, because to give a very just really brief history lesson for everyone, Michael, the concept of due process, which largely came from John Adams, one of our most underrated presidents and founders, the concept of due process came from John Adams' defense of British soldiers who were accused of shooting upon the colonists on our side.
All right, Boston Massacre. Talk about taking an unpopular case. Wow.
Like, to actually say that the enemy is entitled to presumed innocence before proven guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. And we have exactly the opposite occurring in what we saw with Justice Kavanaugh, exactly the opposite, Curtis, with the Russia scam. And I've made this quote before, I've said it, and I'll say it again, indulge the repetition, please. As Lavrenty Beria, Stalin's head of the police state at the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, once remarked, show me a man, and I'll show you his crime. That is the antithesis of what our due process protections, which are, again, they don't come from government. For all the BS narrative that the Constitution needs to be updated, actually the Constitution is the most ahead of its time political document in world history. Yes, it was influenced by other documents like the Magna Carta, the Enlightenment thinkers, John Locke, the philosophers, sure. But when you look at the total presentation, Michael, there's never been a more innovative document of politics and freedom. So it ties in, Curtis, exactly with what it is that you're saying that we've seen with Kavanaugh, with these candidates. I mean, imagine a group of people who are so obsessively infatuated with impugning a married father of two girls that they blindly support fake rape accusations against him. And then imagine that group, Mark. Imagine that same group having any say over your business, your freedom. Think about that. That's what's at stake every election. Every single time it's what it's at stake. So I don't speak for anyone, Michael. I got to think the framers, whether they're drinking a whiskey, having a pint, I got to think they're looking down, though. And if I had to guess what they're talking about, you know, there's probably one statement that could sum it up. We told you so.
Yes,
we told you so.
You're absolutely. But you know what's
they'd say it, Mike. When you stray from the foundational principles, which FYI, other nations in the world who have existed for far longer than we base their constitutions on ours. We're a young nation, not even a quarter of a millennium, and there are other nations that have existed for far longer, base their system on our constitution, our democratic republic. They do that, Mike. So think about it. When you stray from those principles, of course you see the problems that we have today. And they're probably looking down saying, told you so.
Rich, I'm so glad you brought that up, the John Adams Boston Massacre. John Adams was defending the British soldiers. He was defending the enemy. That is so unimaginable today. That would be like Jerry Nadler defending Donald Trump. It's just, you can't imagine that. John Adams, as you said, everyone is entitled to due process. Everyone is entitled to the presumption of innocence. You can't imagine a Democrat standing up today and saying that. You have Kamala Harris there saying, the fact that something hasn't been proven doesn't mean it didn't occur. And
it's just astounding to hear that from a senator who put her hand on a Bible and took the oath of office to uphold the Constitution, even the parts we don't like. And a shameless plug real quick before we get to Mark. We got to hear from Mark. Tomorrow I'm publishing an article about you talk about due process, Curtis, these so-called red flag laws. And I sum it up. Here's how I sum one statement. I'll sum it up. Red flag laws, too good to be true. And what did we learn about in life? When something sounds too good to be true, Michael, it usually is. Remember, injustice against one is injustice against all.
That's right? Correct. That's absolutely right. Correct. And no okay. one knows I'll that better than people who've had to experience it. You know, there's been so much ignoring of the Constitution in the last few years. And I can see why this is happening, because a lot of the people running for office, a lot of the people who are working in government, they don't want to have the actual facts of the Constitution brought up, because they're doing exactly what the Constitution is not encouraging to be done here in the United States. In fact, all of these politicians speaking up at all these events, I think they should be held accountable for what they're saying. They should document their ideas. And now with the internet, it is very, very easy to do that. They're just talking and talking. We're going to be taxed. We're going to be this. We're going to be that. They also have to look, how does that go along with the Constitution that governs our great country? That's a big thing that we have to consider. How do these political statements that they're making benefit the American people, America's families, America's businesses? You just can't stand up there continuously and bibble babble. There's no one calling these people out. And this is why they've gotten away with all the nonsense. Talk is one thing. How about talking about how you're going to justify exactly what you're going to be able to do before, way before the election, like right now? There were some candidates in Philadelphia yesterday, and there was a lot of statements made. And a lot of those statements are bibble babble as far as I'm concerned. I'm not concerned that it's from Democrats or Republicans. I mean everybody across the board. If you say something, let us know how it's going to benefit every American, not portions. Every American, young, old, and in between. Mark Andel, how are you doing?
Excellent, guys. How are you? Welcome, Rich, Curtis. Henry, thanks for making us sound good. And Michael, always, Mike, on the Constitution, 232 years, I didn't hear about it at all yesterday, which it's the finest document ever made, and it is who we are as a country. When I opened the store, I used to ask, especially politicians would come in, number one, they'd want a picture with me, and I'd tell them, everybody, you don't have to call, everybody's welcome at the store. But I said, did you ever read that fine document? And there's easy read, big reads, but I believed in it so much, I put it 20 foot by 20 foot on the wall when you walk in through the bus entrance, and I tell every bus, I hope you don't mind, it's 20 foot by 20 foot, and then we have In God We Trust. And then we have also Made in America, which is the most respected quality product around the world. But the Constitution is what we are. It should be followed. Everybody wants to change it. These were normal people, but masters of their time to be 232 years and still, work so well. And that's what every soldier, police officer, hero, defends. So, Mike, hats off. I do want to change the subject a little bit. Curtis Ellis was looking really good, fine young man, on that Fox interview with Government Motors and UAW. I called Government Motors, not General Motors, Curtis. But, Mike, can we talk about that a little bit?
Absolutely.
And bring Curtis. I just want to get your results. My father worked at Ford, UAW, and I always liked Ford because headquarters is still here, and I think they believe in their country a little more. I did see that nice job, Curtis, on Fox.
Thank
as
you.
Always. And looking good, by the way.
Thank you. I keep beating myself up afterwards. Like, I didn't get this in. I didn't say that.
I could see it was hard for you.
I just want to thank you for that. I don't want to monopolize the time here. I just want to say real quick and hand it back to you, Mark, that it for the first time in since maybe Ronald Reagan, maybe before, certainly since Ronald Reagan, perhaps before, we have a president who talks about America, about making things in America. You know, he said on this GM, I don't want to see GM making factories in Mexico. They should be doing it in America. For too long, whether they call themselves Democrats or Republicans, we've had this either New World Order globalism of the Bush family, or this hard globalism, transnational progressivism of the Democrats, that America doesn't matter. Look, Obama is the one who pushed through the Government Motors bailout, and nowhere in that bailout did it stipulate that GM's got to hire Americans and invest in America, because they don't believe it. The Democrats did not believe that. It doesn't matter whether it's made in China or made in the USA or made in anywhere in the world. Capital should just flow to wherever it wants to go. And now we would not have this strike if we did not have a president, President Trump, who's unafraid to stand up and say, make it in America.
So. It's so important because the big three, Chrysler, you know, Chevy, Ford, is the blue-collar era. That is us. That's what I support. And this Government Motors, you know, Chrysler sold out, and then you've got, you know, Government Motors, and then really Ford's the one that held strong with the headquarters here still. But it's so important to keep these jobs here. As you said it on that show, you know, you got the president, it's high stakes for him. You got the members of the UAW, and you got the leaders. And you kind of put it clear where there's so much division there and how important this is.
Absolutely. This is the high-stakes gamble of the year, and how this works out could well determine the outcome of the presidential election next year. There's a big split between the rank-and-file members of the UAW and the leadership of the UAW. The leadership of these unions always endorses the Democrats. Trumka, you heard him on Labor Day, could not say a bad word about the Democrats, even though it was the Democrats who gave us NAFTA, gave us permanent normal trade relations with China, tried to give us the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Trump is the first president to stand up and say, make it in America. I'm going to put a tariff on foreign goods, and you can avoid that tariff by making it in America. Very simple. Hire Americans, make it in America. Trumka couldn't say anything about that. Now, we've got this situation with the UAW where the leadership recommended going out on strike. If they don't get a good deal, the rank-and-file members are going to blame the leadership, because the leadership is under indictment for all kinds of corruption.
And the members voted for Trump, correct, in 2016?
They sure did. The voters voted for Trump.
Which usually my father's been Democratic, but voted for Trump because they were tired of what they seen. The 8 years of Obama didn't work. You know, I was at the big UAW meeting with Denny Williams back then, and they were tired.
I didn't see any change. Guys, I want to ask you a question. Is it time for possibly an American workers-type constitution written to promote and encourage jobs and job skills for American workers? It could be a guide to how America's schools should teach our youth during their high school years, the skills that are needed for the jobs of today and tomorrow, the skills that are needed for America's industries. Maybe it's something we should consider. What do you think, Curtis?
Well, yeah, considering what they're teaching in schools now, we definitely need to change the curriculum. There's an incredible story in the Atlantic Monthly. Now, the Atlantic is a liberal magazine. There's a story in there, When the Culture Wars Come for Your Children, and it's about these liberal parents' experience with the New York City public school system. And they say, beginning around 2014, the curriculum went hard identity politics, where their kids have learned about the Mayan civilization, about slavery, about the Native American genocide, about the South American Inca civilization, but they have not learned anything about the history of the great American Republic. They have learned nothing about the Constitution, about civics, about how our government operates. And it's definitely time to change the curriculum and get back to the basics. Reading, writing, arithmetic, and those are the skills. I mean, I talk about my friend Jack Davis up there in Erie County, New York. He's got people working in his factory there. They earn good money. They're making high-tech products, or products that are used to make high-tech products. And a lot of those guys have nothing more than a high school education. And most of the guys, they know how to read, they know how to do arithmetic, they know how to do math. And if you have that, you can learn the rest on the job. You don't need one of these sheepskins from an elite university that teaches you how not to think.
Right. You know, guys, yesterday I had Rose Tennant on my show. Curtis, you might know her, but she...
I know Rose, sure.
Yeah, she fills in for Sean Hannity once in a while. It was an honor to have her on, and she is the spokeswoman for the Made in America event being held October 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 6th in Indiana. We're only 2 weeks away from today, and it's really picking up steam. But Rose was point on. You know, she's big for women are thriving in the Trump economy. Trump delivered results for the women, no matter what you hear, and, you know, that they're going to vote for him again. But she's also very in tune with what's going on, what we talk about, Curtis, in our show, with skilled trades. She really liked hearing my story, but I had asked her a lot of questions. She's behind the show 1,000% Made in America, because remember, this show in Indiana is not only business to business, it's business to consumer. The public is welcome to come, which isn't normal. You know, it's a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday show. But Rose was right there. Her father had business. Her family had were entrepreneurs. You know, of course, I told her entrepreneur is the only person that'll work 100 hours a week, Rich, right? So they don't have to work a 40-hour job. But Rose was point on, really believes in what we're talking about. But she was talking about the woman in this Trump economy. And, Curtis, you might want to say something about that. But they're believers in what's happening.
Absolutely. Look, women like to eat, too. Women like to see food on the table.
Yeah.
And they like to see, you know, this division, this endless division of by sex and by race and everything. People are people. And everybody wants a job or wants to earn a living. I hear you. If they don't want that 40-hour-a-week job and they'll work 100 hours a week as an entrepreneur, they want the opportunity to follow their dreams. For some people, that will be a guaranteed paycheck. For others, it'll be starting a business and taking a gamble.
And she really backed Don Buckner for really doing this, having a vision, using his own money again from the private sector to do a show like this for our country. And these are the people making the difference, really taking the time, the money, the effort to pull off the largest Made in America event under one roof. So, you know, she was big on, you know, Trump supporting American workers, understand that he's fighting for their interests and the long-term benefits of building a beautiful country.
You know, I know that this show is going to be a very positive thing. Unfortunately, because of two events, I cannot go to it. We have a Polish festival that weekend, and then on Sunday, it's the Pulaski Day Parade in Philadelphia. So I would like to go to that show, but I'm going to ask all of you to give us reports from the show. Maybe we can even do some live broadcast, because this is what it's all about. And maybe this is a good place to bring up the American Workers' Constitution. You know, I was thinking about that. Maybe the amendments to the American Constitution could be trade deals that focus on American workers first. It may be a way to get people talking more about what are we going to do for American workers. For years, we tried very hard to divide people in this country by race, color, creed, by set-aside programs and things like that. It's time to put us all together again. Our Constitution guides us. Maybe a new American Workers' Constitution would help bring some attention to some of the things that we should have never done in the last 30, 40 years. Just like was stated earlier in today's broadcast, a lot of people wanted everything to go abroad and let our people just sit here and be customers. If you don't have any money in the end, you can't be the customer of anything. So you're going to be at the show, Mark?
Yeah, we actually have a General Welding booth and a Made in America booth. They did say I'll be a speaker at some point. There's many speakers invited now. But great show, public welcome. They're putting a lot of marketing in. It's the first year show, And I think it's great that they have the public. So if you believe in Made in America, from the smallest product to the largest, they got the largest cabinet manufacturer in the United States, you know, 1,500 employees. A lot of people joining in. It's the first year. So hats off. Mike, I'll definitely represent us. Maybe we can call and maybe we can record some broadcast from the show.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of media. They have their whole room full of media. So it's going to be neat, exciting first year. But with public invited, you never know what you're going to get. He, you know, put billboards. He's pushing it a lot, and a lot of people are jumping in.
Now, the first day of the show is what?
Thursday, October 3rd.
Thursday. Okay, so maybe we can do a pre-show on Wednesday, the day before.
There you go. And I'll be driving, so I'll, whatever, if I got to call in, whatever.
Yeah, let's do some of that. Maybe even we can get Don on the show, you know, as a special person to bring, invite people to come to the show and
absolutely
alert the people. I think, Rich, can you be part of that to help promote the show?
Absolutely. Looking forward to it.
Because this is really what it's all about. And you know what? This show, and then we all of a sudden go to the November effort, American Made Month. There's a lot of positive things that we can do, starting with the show. I'm telling you, it's going to be very, very special.
I want to say National Manufacturing's Day is October 4th, too. That's one reason he picked these dates of the show. So that's a huge day, too, which is a Friday,
right?
October 4th.
Yes, yes. In fact, we had National Manufacturers Association here with us on the show a few times.
Yeah.
Maybe we can invite them on again to be with us, but I'm very interested to know some of the people that will be at the show. I'd like to extend an invitation to some of them to join us on Wednesdays after the show and all time in the future to let us know what they're doing, how they're doing it, how they're, you know, expanding their work opportunities here in the USA. No matter what, I feel a president, a state senator, all elected officials in the House should be doing nothing but looking out for America first. And I don't see that happening. We can't tax people to death. We can't give away our house or our roofs. We have to do something where everybody is able to support themselves, where working age and able-bodied people have every opportunity possible. I know that I have to say very, very well prepared about this because I'm doing this commentary on Saturday. There's a tremendous amount of interest by school boards now to restore trades and technology programs in schools. That's really important to note. As the boys and girls are going back, more and more of them are being asked, well, are you interested in this type of class? We're thinking of beginning it in January or at least next September. This is a positive start because it's going to take a long time to reinvent, I hate to say it, to reinvent and then restore some of the classes that we dropped out of our schools 25 years ago. Mark, when you went to school, which was not that long ago, you remember those trade classes available.
Yes.
People knew how to measure. They knew how to read. The rulers were something they knew, you know, very well. Today, everything is electronic. The little electronic thing goes to the wall, and it, you know, tells you exactly how many feet and inches something is. Well, this is not good.
You know, on that point, Mike, I go to McDonald's, right? You order whatever. If you ordered a quarter pounder meal and it comes to $6.16, I gave the girl $6.25. She finally, smoke was coming out of her head. Finally, she said, I can't do that math, you know. It was 6 cents she had to give me back. So I had to give her an extra dollar so she could have the machine to tell me to give the change. That's where we are.
Well, you know, you're right.
That's where we are with this.
I want to tell you, I'm one who does some, you know, shopping here and there. But I have to tell you, it's very disappointing for me to go to a store and I will give $5 and then the change.
Right.
To see the person struggle counting the change is almost unbelievable to me.
Yeah.
And, you know, now I'm getting to the point where I put the quarters in order, the dimes in order, and the nickels, so it's easier for them to count. 35, 40, 45, 52 cents. You know, it's unbelievable.
We'll interview and then ask him at the end, can you read a tape measure? you know, it's a shame. And that's why I had metal shop, wood shop, power mechanics, electronics, electrical in high school. Didn't have to go to an extra course.
Yeah, but my big question is, Mark, when you went to school, that's not that many years ago, when did they start cutting it out of your classrooms?
Yeah, the 80s, later 80s, you know, because I remember the shop teachers coming around. They wanted to sign petitions to try to keep it in. And all they generally have now is a tech class, and a lot of times the tech class doesn't have a teacher to run it, you know, which is a shame. But they should be exposed to it no matter what you're going to do in life, be a doctor, a lawyer, whatever. You should be able to learn how to read a tape measure, run a screwdriver, work a screwdriver, change your tire. But now even the soft skills need to be taught, and we talk about that a lot, even how to they want to take writing out of school so you don't use a pen at all. But you got to sign a greeting card to your paycheck. You know, there's problems in the system. They've got to keep the basic items in that school and teach these kids at a young age.
Oh, you're right. And I am very glad to hear, as I speak to parents, they tell me there is some progress. They made such huge visual centers and expanded the libraries in some of these places where they took the trade classes out, the technology centers. And they're saying, well, the kids are learning at a virtual classroom computer. I said, let me tell you something. You could watch all you want. Hands-on means everything.
Yeah, if you unplug the new generation, they're done.
They're finished. You're right. And if the phone systems went down for 2 days, I wouldn't want to see what would happen to a lot of our people. The communication skills is very, very bad. And I think maybe an American workers' constitution type thing would bring some people, you know, some ideas. Some of the trade deals that we had, they were never, ever brought to the public's attention. Curtis, you've been in the system, in the media for a long time. When those trade deals were put on the table, do you remember reading them and saying, I agree or disagree?
No, they're kept under wraps. And if you try to read them, they're impenetrable legal prose. They're very difficult to read and understand. I've read them myself, and it takes a lot of concentration and focus. The media never explains these, never talks about them. You get some corporate lobbyists writing talking points, and then the media merely repeats the talking points that they've been given, and no one has a full understanding. President Clinton promised millions of jobs from NAFTA, and then I think the most egregious example, and it's interesting how everybody proceeds on autopilot as if nothing ever happened. They live in a fantasy, an alternate universe, an alternate reality. Look at what happened with China, year 2000. In 1999, China was given an annual review, our trade relations with China, giving them the level of tariffs that were imposed on Chinese imports were contingent upon China's human rights records. If it was massacring people in Tiananmen Square, if it was forcing women to have abortions, if it was persecuting Christians and other religious minorities, these were all supposed to be factors in whether we would trade with China. President Clinton and the Republican leadership and Joe Biden all said, no, 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 we can't do that anymore. If we just give China complete carte blanche and lift this annual review, that will make them behave better. It'll be wonderful. They'll become more developed, more prosperous, and they'll buy everything that we make in America. We'll have 1.5 billion more customers for American products. Well, what happened was they got their way and they lifted this annual review. But what happened is now China, instead of China buying everything we make, China makes everything we buy. It's been a complete turnabout. They've not become more democratic. They still force women to have abortions. They still persecute Christians and other religious minorities. They still they steal our military secrets. They're are aiming rockets right at us. I have a piece coming out about how now the U.S. government wants to invest its retirement funds. The thrift savings plan is the retirement funds for federal workers and uniformed servicemen and women.
that will be allowed to be invested in Chinese companies. A portion of that funds, the investment funds can be, the retirement funds, the pension fund, can be invested in what's known as the Morgan Stanley, the MSCI, the Morgan Stanley Country Index. And it's an index fund of global stocks. And a hefty percentage of those stocks are Chinese companies.
Well,
and some of the... It's unbelievable, and some of those companies are the companies are China's military contractor. The people that are stealing are secrets for our F-35 jet fighter to build fighters that'll be used against American aircraft carriers in the South China Sea. And the U.S. federal government is ready to invest money in that company. It just shows how the government operates on autopilot. We have no concept whatsoever of what's going on under the name of trade policy. They're still proceeding. They're sleepwalking in 1999, that if we just invest in China, that'll become our friend.
Well, that was the old idea. That was the old idea.
Oh, the old
Build
idea.
Them up, and the old ideas come back to haunt us. By the way, Curtis, who suggested that we put those dollars into China rather than putting those dollars into America's investment in new companies that are going to bring jobs and promote employment opportunities here in the USA?
In the global corporations, the big Fortune 50 companies and their Wall Street financiers, their Wall Street bankers, they don't want new companies coming up. These giant corporations want to hold on to their market share. The thing they fear most is new companies. That's called competition. They don't want competition.
I agree with you 1,000%. You know, I have to tell you a little story of a very interesting conversation I had with a gentleman at a Polish festival about 3 weeks ago. He said to me, Michael, I think we should discuss on the radio also exactly what a product, let's take a pen or a table cover or something. What is it costing to make that in China? And what does it cost the American public purchasing it in America? He said he's done a little bit of homework on it, and people would not believe the amount of profit that is made by the middlemen. In other words, if that table cover was being sold for $30 in one of America's stores, it could have come to America for $2.
Yeah. Mike, I've done many interviews on the T-shirt, $2 T-shirt made overseas, sold here $25 to $30. You know, a lot of that, and just getting back to what Curtis said with China, you know, we became the customer of the world, consumer of the world, and they became the factory of the world. And we've got Moog right behind us in Western New York, and, you know, they're doing F-35 parts. But one of the biggest things, we don't even have magnets. We don't mine magnetic material. We don't make magnets in the United States no more. And our guided missiles needs the magnet minerals and things in it to guide it. And China supplies them to us. So as a matter of national defense, Curtis, they could start there and put some good laws and regulation.
Yeah, and that's been suggested.
It's crazy.
It is crazy. And that's been suggested. Rob Spalding, retired Brigadier General and stealth bomber pilot, I suggest everybody follow him on Twitter. He says, require the Defense Department to buy American, require the federal government to buy American, make the tariffs on China permanent, and invest in the research and development of these of the technologies, and develop the rare earths and the other productive capacities and mines right here. That's a certainly good place to start. That's where we used to be. The Berry Amendment, and there's various Buy American amendments that have been in place since 1930, but that require the federal government to buy American, but they grant so many waivers, it's become just a sham.
Yeah. Now, Per Carter Beard, owner of Anning and Flag, and our flags, 50% of our American flags are made overseas. A lot of people don't need that or know that. Carter Beard educated me on that, and that I always ask everybody on the buses, wherever, can we at least agree our flag should be made here? And Curtis, that would just be a small one that would make soldiers and everybody that served this country and serves every day a little happier.
Yeah.
Can I
make a plug?
can I make a plug for Mark on something, guys?
Make a plug. Go ahead.
Mark, I am hanging in my office. I am hanging in my office a framed Don't Tread on Me Gadsden flag that I purchased from your store.
The original flag.
100% American made. I didn't
remember
get
that rattles from you. 13 rattles for 13 states.
Right, 13 rattles for the 13 colonies. That's exactly right. I hang it up. And, you know, when we'd have people come to the house, and I don't mean for this the way it's going to sound, because plenty of Americans don't know what it is either, the Gadsden flag, but we'd have people come to the house. They would do contracting, et cetera, and they're not from the U.S., and they no one knew what it was, Curtis. I mean, they hadn't even ever seen it, right? I mean, if you saw it, I'm not sure what that, what exactly is that? I'm not going to, oh, you're stupid, you're dumb. No, I'll sit there, have a conversation. They didn't even know what it was at all. So
it's quite a history.
When you stray from, nothing that is happening today, I don't care what issue it is, Michael, economic, gun violence, all of this crap, everybody's fond of regurgitating the problem. But give me an answer. Give me an intelligently designed remedy. Even, Curtis, if we disagree on the remedy, but we say, wow, that's okay, that's intelligently designed, You know, I said last week on the show, Michael, with climate change, you know, we just had a report come out, Curtis, did you see this, that our carbon emissions in the U.S. are the lowest they've been in decades. So if we want to deal with climate change, just take the five most polluting peoples of the world, shoot them into outer space. Done.
Yeah, yeah. In fact, they had a report today on the radio earlier this morning that the ozone layer is the smallest that's been in 20 years. That's
just
how
everyone needs to listen to everyone. Me and our audio engineer today, our great audio engineer, Henry, who, by the way, we only have 8 minutes left. Swing voter in a swing state. Henry, we
all the pressure's
on
Henry.
We need you on board. We're going to earn your vote. Swing voter in a swing state.
I'm sending
I tell
Henry
you, me and Henry, me and Henry were talking today. Everyone needs
to
listen
point,
to George Carlin.
At what point did you start bribing me about this stuff?
The election is in about 400 days. So figure
you got 400 days to come up with a couple hundred bucks, and then I'll vote anywhere you want.
So, and look, if we break it down, Michael, we're going to have, I mean, we do a show a week, 400 days. That's about, that's about 50-some-odd shows. So for the next 50-some-odd times, I'm going to come on and say, Henry, we need your vote. Swing voter in a swing state. We need you on board. We're going to earn your vote.
This is going. Let me tell you something. All that the candidates are talking about, if they would only follow one process in their mind, a nation must care for its citizens first. That's the biggest thing we're worried about.
Hey, Mike, on these debates, can we have the Constitution as the backdrop?
Yes. In fact, I mean, I want to see these people justify what they're talking about. They want to give everything away. They want it their way. Their way is the better way. I'm looking for their documented ideas, and I can't find it. Anybody could sit and bibble babble for hours, and it means nothing. When you document something, you have a chance to read it and reread it and see if it's going to fly. How does it fit in with the present Constitution established 232 years ago? You just can't bibble babble like that. Yet the national press loves it because it gives them something to cover.
New York Times blunder. Rich, what do you think as a journalist?
Well, all I'll say is this about that, Mark. Dean Baquet, the executive editor of the New York Times, Dean Baquet and the New York Times are not sending us their best. They're not. They're not sending us their best.
No, Rich, let me just say two things on this, and Mark, let me say two things on this. Number one, the New York Times, as soon as Donald Trump was elected, they ran a column. One of their columnists said, "We have to abandon all the old rules of journalism and do whatever it takes to get rid of Trump." So they have decided to jettison their objective standards, any standards whatsoever. They'll print anything. Now, Rich, I want to see you published this breaking story based on yesterday's hearings with Jerry Nadler and Corey Lewandowski, and it fits into the New York Times. It should be new allegations, Nadler pushes his members in witnesses' face.
It was a pretty unbelievable thing to watch.
Jerry Nadler, he brings Corey Lewandowski before the committee. What did he think it would happen when you've got geniuses like Sheila Jackson Lee and that guy Cohen from Memphis and all the other, you know, three stooges and seven dwarfs that are on the committee going up against Corey Lewandowski? He's pushing them into the buzzsaw. What did he think it would happen?
Can you guys imagine 600 days after Inauguration Day 2017, and we're talking about impeachment 600 days after the inauguration?
And you know, you're right. Michael, that's right. Michael, it's insane.
Michael, winners win. Losers try to change the rules of the game during the game.
And the earth is flat, Richard.
Yeah.
There's a whole society pushing that.
Before we go, guys, I want to ask all of you, we've done some very special things on the U.S. debt clock. You can find it linked on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com. Take a look at that. In fact, there is now a comparison of how things were in the year 2000 and how they are now. You'll really be interested. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to say thank you to Mark Andel, to Curtis Ellis, to Rich Loges. Best wishes to our very popular Larkin Conley. Thanks to our engineer. Thanks to everyone at the station. I'm Michael Blihash. God bless you and your family. Until we have the opportunity to be again together on our broadcast, may God bless you and yours. Fly your flags proudly. Be proud to talk about the Buy American Made campaign and spread the word to your family and friends about American Workers Radio here on 860 or anytime on the internet by going to AmericanWorkersRadio.com. God bless you. God bless America.
Have a great week, guys.